Wow. I could say amen because it's almost 12 o'clock. And we have had some good preaching already in multiple ways. But I think we're still going to do a little bit of this today. Isaiah 21 is where we're at. Get the first 10 verses. If you want to turn with me there, we'll also have it up on the screen. And I encourage you, bring your Bible. Even though we put it up on the screen, you have your own Bible, you can underline something, you can mark something. It's also, you can put a page marker in there so you can check it out later. Hold me accountable. Make sure that what I'm preaching and teaching is according to God's Word. Isaiah chapter 21, starting with verse 1, it says, "An oracle concerning the desert by the sea. Like whirlwinds sweeping through the southland, an invader comes from the desert. From a land of terror, a dire vision has been shown to me. The traitor betrays. The looter takes loot. Elam attacks. Mediah lay siege. I will bring to an end all the groaning she caused. At this, my body is racked with pain. Pain sees me like those of a woman in labor. I am staggered by what I hear. I am bewildered by what I see. My heart falters. Fear makes me tremble. The twilight I long for has become a horror for me. They set the tables. They spread the rugs. They eat. They drink. Get up, you officers. Oil the shields. This is what the Lord says to me. Go, post a lookout and have him report what he sees. When he sees chariots with teams of horses, riders on donkeys or riders on camels, let him be alert, fully alert. And the lookout shouted, day after day, my Lord, I stand on the watchtower every night. I stay at my post. Look, here comes a man on a chariot with a team of horses, and he gives back the answer. Babylon has fallen. All the images of its gods lie shattered on the ground. Oh, my people, crushed on the threshing floor, I tell you what I have heard from the Lord Almighty, from the God of Israel." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we come before you this day seeking your blessing, seeking your encouragement, seeking you, our Father in heaven. Lord, open your word to us. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I come and preach your word, that your people here would be encouraged and blessed, that your word would indeed go out with power and truth. Now, Father, be present here in our midst this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a prophecy that Isaiah gave that is actually a rather difficult one to deal with. I read this and I read it and I read it and I went, "Lord, I don't know what I'm reading here. I don't have a clue. Help me, Lord." And Lord answers prayer. Praise God. He did open His Word. And He showed me. I have a better understanding of it now than I did before. Because it is a difficult passage. What we have here is a prophecy. We have a prophecy that's of prescriptive time, that's saying this is what's going to happen in the future. See, there's also prophecy in forthtelling the Word of God, then there's prophecy in foretelling. And this is a foretelling that is included in forthtelling. Have I now totally confused you? speaking forth the Word of God, telling us what God has said, laying it out for us. That is forthtelling. Foretelling is saying, this is what's going to occur, and laying it out item by item. Both are prophecy. Isaiah is doing both here. I'm only doing the forthtelling. No laying it out line by line, except for what's already here and pointing to it. Isaiah gave this prophecy roughly 150 years before it occurred. The fulfillment of this prophecy, a portion of it here, is when Babylon fell to the Medes and Persians. We see that story in Daniel. Now, there's a lot of people that don't believe that God's servants, God's prophets, hear from Him and can indeed say, this is what's going to happen. They have to look at that and they have to say, you know what? This had to have been written after the event in order to be correct like this. Because it has details. If you could bring up my slides. And I've shown this before, but I just want to remind you what kind of area we're talking about here. To the left, that little gray area, that's a Philistine-controlled area, and then immediately to the right of it is a lighter green above in the center. That's the kingdom of Judah. You can see Jerusalem kind of dead center there, up towards the top of, even with the top of the Dead Sea and you go, as you go east. Okay? And up at the very top, you see Assyrian Empire. Assyrians were the bad guys. The Assyrians were the ones who were really in control of everybody here. They were the big guy in the black causing trouble for everybody. They were not nice people. Next slide. And here we see the size of the Assyrian Empire a couple of times. Now you have to remember that the larger the number, that's farther back it is. Because we're talking B.C. here. So 824 B.C., is about 100 years before the time of this prophecy was given. This prophecy actually occurred. They fell in the year 539. Now we see Assyrian Empire at its height in the year 671. And then it started kind of growing weaker and getting a little bit smaller. But still, it was the one that was doing things. Roughly again, another 70 years later is what we're talking about, approximately, when this prophecy occurred, when the Assyrian Empire fell. Okay, next slide. See the Assyrian Empire, how it's a little bit smaller? That's the green ones. And then we have the Persian Empire there, also called Chaldean and Median empires. Okay, next slide. Now we see here two areas called Elam and Media. You're kind of in the center. Can you hit it with the cursor? See Elam and Media. There's Elam and Media up to the top, just underneath the Caspian Sea. There's Media. Okay. And Babylon is right there. This is what that looked like before the Chaldean or the Median Persian Empire took over Babylonian, the Assyrian Empire. Next slide. Just want to show you what area we're talking about. Right now, most of that area is Iran and Iraq. Syria, Jordan. These are the areas that we're talking about. And, okay, you can shut off the slides. Just wanted to give you that picture. Because what's going on here is Isaiah says, out of the desert. This area really wasn't desert then. There was a lot of lakes for that area and rivers. And it was actually quite... But now today, what does it look like? There is a lot of desert there. It's harsh country. Elam used to be a supporter of the Assyrian Empire. They were one of their friends. But you see, and so was Media. They used to be part of the Assyrian Empire. But see, those pieces got bit off, nibbled away, and became part of the Median Empire, the Mede Persians. The details that had to happen before that to occur are just amazing. 150 years earlier, Isaiah is saying, this is going to happen. People going, it's like somebody saying, that Florida is going to come and attack Ohio. Okay? You're going, what? Why would Florida come and attack? Florida and Texas, they're going to attack Ohio. And they're not going to be part of the United States. They'll be part of Mexico. You go, what? You're nuts. That's what it sounded like to these people. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen. But I'm saying it's the same type of thing. Florida and Texas are solid parts of the United States. Though in the past, there was some conflict. But right now, they're solid. Elam attack, Mediah lay siege. I will bring an end to all the groaning she caused. She who? Babylon. Babylon has fallen. Isaiah has this prophecy, and he calls it a dire vision. Dire means bad, okay? With a big B, a big A, and a big D. Bad. Things are not good. Hold it. Why? Because actually at this time, they see Babylon as... Maybe they're hoping that it'll maybe come and bring some relief from who they're currently getting problems from. It's all just confusing. They're trusting that somebody, that help is going to come from that direction. Instead, what we see here is the strengthening of it. You also have the issue that as there's this conflict, and these people, the rulers are overthrown. It's a military struggle. Military struggles do not happen without loss of life, without suffering, without harm to everyone involved. And Isaiah... He's racked with pain. Like labor pains, he talks about. Now, women know what labor pains are. Guys, all we got is Bill Cosby to go by. Okay, he tells us, take your little lip, put it up over your head. When you sit in, you're not quite there yet. So we're talking. It hurts. He's in pain. He's staggered by what he hears. And he's bewildered by what he sees. His heart falters and he trembles. See, this thing that he'd longed for, the fall of it, becomes a horror. This is literally, be careful what you wish for, you just might get it. And he saw the suffering and the hurt, and it hit him right between the eyes. See, when Christ died on the cross, who did he die for? Everybody. There is not somebody who he didn't die for. There is nobody who is excluded. His death was to cover and forgive all sin. Now it's up to us to accept that salvation and to receive the benefits of it. Isaiah was seeing with God's heart what was happening. Even though God was the one bringing judgment, Isaiah was seeing with the compassion of God and racked with pain that the lost were seeing judgment. And he was hoping. They were hoping that there would be somebody else who would come and take over and remove the oppressor's foot from their neck. And what they saw was just another oppressor. You see, they were hoping for an earthly help. That's what the people of Israel were hoping for. They weren't looking to God. You say, Pastor, that sounds a lot like what you preached the week before and the week before that. You know, God seems to be showing us that message a lot. Yeah. Why would he do that? Why would he show us again and again that we're not supposed to trust in the things of the world and the power of the world, that he's the one who's almighty? He's the one who we're supposed to seek for our help and our hope. Why would he do that? Bah. We're sheep. What is one thing any sheep farmer will tell you? Sheep are stupid. They say, Pastor, did you just call us stupid? Apparently, God thinks that we're not so bright because we don't get it. That he needs to tell us again and again and again. What do you do with somebody if they don't get it the first time you teach? And you really think it's important that they learn it? You give them the lesson again, and you keep changing the lesson a little bit, trying to find just the right illustration that's going to work with these people. Anybody ever had a student like that you tried to work with, tried to teach? Uh-huh. Anybody ever been that student? Mm-hmm. God keeps bringing this up. Why? Because the people of Israel aren't learning it. God put it all here in God's Word. Why? Because we aren't getting it the first time. We need to hear it again and again and brought up and really have our nose rubbed in it like you do with a puppy that makes a mess. And say, this is the problem. You're not putting your trust in me. You're putting your hope and your trust in something of the world. And guess what? You know what it's going to lead to? Nothing. They're crushed on the threshing floor. That's the position of God's people here at the end of this. Crushed on the threshing floor. Crushed doesn't sound so good, does it? But it's not so bad. Because they're not the chaff. They're what the wheat that's left on the bottom of the threshing floor. They're the stuff that you save and you collect that's valuable. Chaff is the stuff that gets burned up that you don't want. my people, crushed on the threshing floor. I tell you what I have heard from the Lord Almighty, from the God of Israel. We need to have compassion for the lost. And we need to have dependence upon God, the Almighty. Isaiah is having compassion on those who are going to judgment. And it breaks his heart that this is happening. Now, what can we take away from this? When we have somebody oppressing us, we have somebody who is over us and oppressing us, instead of hoping that, I hope somebody else comes and takes them out. Anybody ever have that prayer or thought, desire? Maybe for your boss? Maybe for your pastor? I don't know. No, we'll pray not. But we have that. That's not what we should be doing. We should be turning to God and saying, Lord, protect me. Lord, carry me through this. Help me to be an example to you that the one who is lost might come to know you. Have compassion on them. That they might be saved. That they too might end on the threshing floor, be collected. Be collected up in the harvest. See, not all that is cut in the field is kept. You take the grain, you take it to the threshing floor, and it's threshed. And the chaff is removed. Straw is removed. And what you have left is the grain. That's what God wants. That's all who believe in Him. We should not be putting our hope in things of this world. We need to be putting our hope and our Father in heaven. And in the midst of that, we need to be looking at those around us with His compassionate heart. Living the life so that they too may be saved. So hear what God is our Father. He is loving. He is merciful. But He is also righteous and just. And there will be those who do face judgment. There will be those who are indeed straw and chaff. But His people will be saved on the threshing floor and collected up into His harvest. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You that You, Lord, are the Almighty. You give Your prophecy, Your Word to Your prophet, and he shares it in such detail that we cannot deny it. When we see it carried out 150 or more years later, Lord, we see the compassion You've given Your prophet for those who were His oppressors, the oppressors of His people. You gave him Your heart, Lord. Lord, might we wait upon You, knowing that Your day is coming. Hoping in You, not in man, not in things of this world, but instead, Lord, might we hope in You, the Almighty. In Jesus' name, amen.